What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Wheel Wednesday Behind the Wheel podcast. Listen, we got some things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But before I do, I want to make before we get into all our shenanigans, I do want to make one sort of general things. I think that for some people, things get tough around the holidays. And this industry more recently, we've lost some people that obviously we're struggling. So I'm not going to throw names out there, but you know, my guess is a majority of the people maybe watching this know what I'm talking about. If you need help, say something. You know, there's people out there that they really do care, that will help you. And it's unfortunate that somebody should have to go through that. So if you need help, like, reach out to some people and see if you can get that cleared up. All right, let's get into the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a bunch of things to talk about on this podcast. This is a good one because what's happening here is, first off, we're going to let you know what's going on with this Black Friday sale. You might have seen us talking about on social media. We'll give you all the details, what's involved, what's there for you to enjoy, and where the benefit comes in for you. We're also going to be talking about some other things. Like we have... there was that crazy thing that happened in San Jose.
In San Jose, yeah.
Wild. Wild. And this has to do with those car takeovers and those, you know, the slideshows, they call them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that. You know, we'd love to hear some opinions and thoughts on that. So if you're kind of into that, make sure you give a comment when we get into it. Also, automakers now figuring out how they can lock. Well, no, this is not true. They figured this out before, but
yeah.
Now basically making the proclamation that they're going to lock ECUs to a point that they feel that the architecture of the languages will be extremely difficult, if at all, for some of these aftermarket companies to hack. They're going to make them in a way that they're essentially, from their perspective, unhackable, that you can't get in, you can't change any of this stuff. And you know, the question really comes in, is this fear of the EPA? Well, I would argue that the further we get into electric vehicles, because I believe we've heard the same sentiment from an electric manufacturer, from an electric branded car, and also an internal combustion engine car. So one speculates, is this really because of the EPA? Is this really because of liability, obviously? Or is it have something to do with the fact that we are progressing into a stage of vehicles are going to be made with every single option and you're going to have to pay to unlock them?
Ooh, right? Hope not.
Right? So we got some things to talk about. Let's kind of knock into this. Yeah.
Speaking on the ECU topic or whatever, yeah, it may be. Also, I think it's this month or next month, California.
Yeah.
Did you see that they're going to be doing ECU scans along with smog checks as of like
you mean like OBD2 checks?
I think it was supposed to be ECU scan for modification or something like that. So that's going to be going with smog checks. That's not in the future. That's like now.
I'm so
there you go, testing for ECU tunes, yeah.
Small checks.
And yeah, that's so starting next week, or I don't even know when this was posted. July. Well, that's 2021.
Right.
But there was news saying that, I guess, that it's getting implemented again. But
first off, I'm gonna be 100% honest. I think that there is so many issues with the potential thing that California is pulling off there that can cause a world to hurt for so many people, and it has nothing to do with if your car's tuned or not.
Right.
But I'm not even going to get into it because I don't know any of the facts about how the test works. But you know, there's a lot of different things that are like what they're using as criteria for to pass a software to be able to figure out what was tuned or modified could sometimes not be a tune or a modification at all. You know, there's a lot of cars, and when I think of German cars that have to be coated, where, you know, you want to make your mirrors fold in or out, or you want to make, you know, you want to add the little dashboard icons and different things like that, and you have to access that stuff through the ECU, through, you know, a body control module, or you know, through the OBD2 port. I just don't know, like, are they really able to scan for a modified CAL file that hasn't been done by the dealer? I know that in theory it can be done, but mm-hmm. I guess my question is, will the state be able to do something that covers all the architecture and languages of the ECUs that are written and does it in a way that Joe Schmo at the smog station is able to plug in and clearly adapt that this is not a false, you know, negative, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? A false positive kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, I have suspicions there that California is going to end up having more issues where they're telling people that may not have even had a tune that, hey, your vehicle's been modified. We can't pass your inspection. And then you're going to have a thing. But leave it to California to come up with something that's overly not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing, California, you could do, you know, I'm not a full fan of what's going on. You know, even in New York when it has these OBD2 ports, like we do our inspection by OBD port, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it checks all the readiness systems and, you know, like, and I think there's more than a few states that are doing that now. But at least with that, it's checking the equipment that are on board to essentially make sure that you still have functioning systems.
So if you had an ECU flash or full tune or whatever it is, can they see that through the OBD2 scanner?
I don't think that they look for it. I think what they're looking for is, you know, is your evap system functioning? Is your, you know, oxygen sensors functioning? Are your like all your emission stuff functioning,
mm-hmm.
you know, does your vehicle perform, do the systems on the vehicle that have to do with, you know, kind of the functioning of your car as far as an emission standpoint, are they all working?
Right.
And are they ready to be tested? And I think that, you know, I'm not saying that there's not any software out there that hasn't tried to replicate and put false readiness on the board. But I know that that's become an increasingly difficult thing for these companies to do. And a lot of companies are just backing out of it. Like they won't do it. Obviously, you know, the EPA has put this stuff forward. They're looking for it. So companies are like, no, we're not going to do that anymore. So really just by monitoring those systems, you're going to do a much better job
mm-hmm.
at determining whether the car was modified just from an OBD2 scan. So searching for these files, I mean, you know, we can go on for this for a while.
I think all the crackdowns are making it just really crazy for everyone. I was reading something that said that Cobb was getting bashed because they were promoting flex fuel kits.
Right.
And now when it comes down to it, they're pulling back that software saying we're not doing a flex fuel tune.
And this is what I'm talking about. Where does it stop? Like, if I take an internal combustion engine car, well, now, so what Max just put up here is not the same thing, but it, I guess it's related, right?
Mm-hmm.
They took so Cobb, let's talk about what Cobb's emissions lockout means. So Cobb emissions lockout is essentially meaning that you can't do what we just said before. You can't stop the functioning of any. They're basically saying this is not an emission defeat device.
Right.
What this is, they went and they essentially got. I understand why tuners are furious, but they went and essentially. I believe they had a few. They're having their tunes now approved by CARB. They're CARB legal tunes,
mm-hmm.
and they're putting them into these, you know, handheld devices. And they're allowing you to upload them, but they're not allowing you to enhance upon them or have any user functions that would allow you to do any alteration of those approved tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Still think that if you're a Cobb Pro tuner, there is something there that you can do. But let's step away from this for a moment. I think that there has to be a pathway forward unless you're going to try to kill all automotive racing, to allow certain tuners the ability to have tunes that are able to modify a vehicle, especially if it's going to be considered, if it is truly being used as an off-road vehicle. That's number one. Number two, I think that it's illogical and unresponsible to have an internal combustion engine that, you know, look, you, jeez.
Excuse me.
I know what you're thinking, guys. We look like twins, but, you know, anyhow. So I think that it's one of those things. Look, you do a tune-up on your car. At mm-hmm. some point, your car calls for a tune-up. It wants you to change spark plugs. It wants you to, you know, like some cars, this internal combustion engine cars, they want you to check valve lash. They want you to do all these things because they need you to properly get it back into spec.
Mm-hmm.
But then the idea that with an internal combustion engine doesn't come some sort of, you know, kind of waning effect of needing to be re-optimized, and that the idea that somebody there should be approved to do it, to me is almost asinine. It just doesn't make sense. And these are where these rules clearly aren't written for, you know, by car people. And I'm not talking about car enthusiasts. I'm talking about car people mm-hmm. that really understand the working nature of these systems. So I think it's a hard thing for me to take. You're not allowing anybody. I mean, like, I understand a system where maybe you have, like, you have to spend, like, you know, a lot of money for, you know, to go to some of these, you know, federal, let's say they make a federal class where you have to go get certified and your license, you know, you pay for a license that allows you to modify these vehicles, and they put a pathway forward for, hey, these are the standards that the government, or this is the standards that the federal government is going to have for these vehicles. They have to meet these standards
mm-hmm.
or the tune and anything you do is just no good. I mean, the idea that we are not capable of enhancing the performance of a vehicle while increasing its efficiency, especially among emissions, is crazy. Because think about it. If that was the case, you wouldn't have vehicles right now that uphold those standards and make 500 horsepower, right. make 600 horsepower. And the OEs are putting them out there. If it's possible for an OE, it's possible on the aftermarket side. Yep. And the only thing that needs to be measured and ruled is, who are we giving the access and the keys to do this? And are they willing to put up their reputation and their license if they're not complying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there just needs to be a recertification process. You want to go that way. And I know this may not be popular with a lot of people. Trust me, I don't have any impact on the EPA. You don't have to worry about anything. But like at the end of the day, the idea that that a tune can meet federal compliant standards of emissions, I think is not something that I think is undoable. In fact, I think it's completely doable.
Right.
So now comes the other measure. We're seeing these manufacturers basically say, like, hey, for whatever reason, they're going to lock these ECUs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by locking these ECUs, I They're going to keep people out. The question is, where, you know, I this is where the line gets blurry for me. At what point does the enthusiast aspect of this industry that's fueling some of these cool cars get kind of just so watered down that they're like, the hell with it? And then does that kill the type of car that some of these manufacturers are putting out? Because now the enthusiast is just like, look, like,
whatever. I think so.
You know?
Yeah, I definitely think so.
Yeah. So I think that there's still got to be something there. Now, I'm still on the page. Oh, please don't show me that one. That one hurts me the most.
This was signed into law 10 minutes ago. So breaking news.
let's see. Max put something up here that says, Hochul signs legislation to advance New York's transition to clean transportation. Let's see what this says. This is New York. Helps remove barriers of the installation of electric vehicles to charging stations. Drives New York State's reaching 850,000 zero emission vehicles by 2025. Wow.
They must not know how much cars cost right now, let alone EVs.
Look, this is just another. First off, let me start out by saying that I don't think that there's anything wrong with this bill. I mean, I haven't read the whole bill, so let me restrict that. What I'm saying is, just what we read here, I don't think there's anything wrong with the idea that you're removing barriers for the installation of electric charging stations.
Good, A-okay with me.
I've never said that electric vehicles aren't part of the future of where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
I've just said you're going there too fast and you're doing it recklessly, right?
Yep.
Okay. The next thing is this whole idea that you're putting standards on which vehicles are going to be able to do what. And now this is new vehicles being sold.
Yep.
So is 2035 really that far off? Well, that depends. Because the reason it's far off is because they don't have the infrastructure built and we don't have the infrastructure in the grid to be able to support that. But if you somehow were able to get that done in, oh, I don't know, the next 13 years because we're so good at infrastructure repair,
right,
then I don't see inherently a really awful problem with this. But I believe that this is where politics falls short of doing the right thing and following the structure, because we've seen this now. Mr. Toyota himself has said that Toyota will not be able to meet the standard. In fact, they're going to 2050 to be able to fully go all electric. That's number one. We've heard the same thing come out at Ford. Ford made the same comment. But I think that they didn't really stand behind it 100%. I know for a fact that GM just came out recently and said that there is no way that they can meet a 2035. Now let's back up for a second.
That's why they call it a goal.
Yeah, but
they
but
still fall short of it.
But this is where state goals. I'm not our biggest advocate, but I will say this is where I do think that, Governor
Hochul.
This is, I do think that Governor Hochul did the right thing by using the goal word.
Right.
Because California did not. Let's be very clear.
No, they said all EV, zero emission vehicles, 2035.
100%.
Everyone's, it's crazy.
I mean, California literally sends out text messages to tell people not to charge their vehicles.
Turn off your AC.
Turn off your AC. Suffer and don't go anywhere because we don't have enough electric. But they're still like, hey, we're going.
Yeah.
So that's asinine. Yeah. This is crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Yeah. This is not real life, folks. California. If you see this, we're not ready. Anyhow, Mr. Toyota. Mr. Toyota flat out said, hey, look, for every one electric vehicle we make, we can make 8 hybrid vehicles.
Yep.
Now, in a hybrid vehicle, that is the next logical step to bring vehicles to 2 in mass. One, you're going to drastically cut down the carbon footprint like crazy, exponentially. Two, the average person drives about 22 miles each way to work for their average commute. The average U.S. commute is about 44 miles.
Round trip. That's a decent drive.
Well, man. You have to think that the middle of the country probably doesn't. What I mean? Like, if you're going
to
average
That's when they say I'm going 15 minutes to work, but it's 15 miles away.
It's one of those things where I think that if that. All right, so they say, 44 miles a day. Now, Toyota basically said, hey, look, we can make a hybrid vehicle. In fact, we do make a hybrid vehicle that can easily, on a plug-in charge, last 40 miles on a charge, which allows the average American to do their whole commute and only use 4 miles of fuel. So let's also say that the engine that's going to probably be in these cars is going to be super small.
Yep, rather fuel efficient.
So they're probably going to get 40. Let's just be generous and say 40 miles to the gallon, right? 40 miles to the gallon means that, You're using 4 miles.
Yep.
Right? You're not using a gallon of fuel. You know, you're using, a, you know, what, a tenth of that?
Yeah, small. I don't know.
Well, a tenth. I mean, 4 and 40, you know.
Like math.
I understand.
Yeah.
Right, those math things. So, so what does that tell you? That allows you to have an infrastructure in place right now that you could pivot to and continuously build up your grid and your infrastructure while you're also drastically reducing carbon emissions. Yep. This is technology that every vehicle manufacturer has in their arsenal right now. You could do this right now. Right now. You wouldn't have to wait. You could do it right now. And you wouldn't jar car prices all that much.
Frankly, they could have did it years ago too.
Right. I mean. So this is a typical political thing where people are getting behind it without having any car knowledge. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, look, this is what we're doing. And
you know, I think part of it is, I think that there was a lot of stigma with hybrids being farty and ugly and crappy. And then when Tesla or whoever came out with some nice looking EVs, people were like, that's the future. That's what we want. That's really cool. And it just like it stinks that the hybrid got kind of stepped over.
But look, here's the thing. And you, I know you'll agree with me. A hybrid is not a movement. Hybrid is not a you know, regardless of how the hybrid vehicles were designed.
I mean, it's not necessarily moving, but it's a solution.
Well, it's a solution. It's called, yeah. Listen, all it is taking the two things and putting them together.
Right.
That's why they call it a hybrid. I mean, this is not a revolutionary term
we just figured
here,
this
folks.
Out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like, I just don't understand. We're not using logic here. We're not doing the right thing. They could have made it so that the average American could have done the majority of their driving on an actual plug-in charge.
Mm-hmm.
But if the grid was to go down, if the grid was insufficient, if California suddenly said, hey, don't plug in your cars tonight, they could still get to work the next morning. And for some reason, all these governments they're so wrapped up in EV that they just can't get their heads around this whole thing. There has to be an intermediary step toward getting to this goal. And I just feel that the states that are failing to acknowledge it are really just honestly, I think that they're negligent. So that's that. We talked about this.
Yep.
We gotta move on. We got some cool things to cover. Black Friday yet or Black Friday at the end?
Whenever you feel is suitable.
Jeez. All right. Well. All right. Let's talk about the thing that happened in San Jose, because this is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Wild. So San Jose, yes, San Jose, California.
It's crazy.
This is nuts. Now, I'm gonna give my personal opinion. This is not a Koenig opinion. We know that this sometimes happens.
You just have to do this really quick, Scott. You have to cover that up. There you go. Go
right.
Ahead. Yeah.
Right.
Now
it's yours too.
Yeah. Now it's your opinion. Yours, now it's your opinion.
Nobody look at the top of the screen. So here's the thing.
You keep it covered. No Koenig opinion.
No Koenig opinions. Here's the deal. I'm not a big fan of these slideshow things. In fact, I think that they're terrible for our industry. I think they're terrible for enthusiasts. Because these generally, we've heard us talk about this before, they're not necessarily car enthusiasts. So I'm going to say I just don't like these. And they're reckless. And that's not what enjoying cars are about. But we can come back off now. So here's the thing. At the end of the day.
This is the video. This is crazy.
This is wild.
Yeah.
San Jose essentially waits for one of these slideshows. They obviously do their homework. They are prepared.
That's crazy. They got fireworks there. That's nuts. Yeah. People are crazy, man.
Who knew there was going to be a pyrotechnics display?
Yeah.
They got lasers and stuff. What is it, a festival?
Yeah, I don't know.
A music festival in the middle of the street?
Imagine you trying to go home from work. Could you imagine that? Right? Just like, what's going on?
Could you imagine, oh, like...
This is the...
She was so accurate, it was ridiculous. Wait, could you imagine you're like, honey, I'm just going to run out and grab some milk, right?
Yeah.
And then you get stuck in this.
Yeah,
now,
you get
citation. Now look, this is what happens. All San Jose police basically says, hey, look, traditionally what they have done is they have went after the people that were doing the, you know, the burnouts, the slides, the
takeovers,
drifts, whatever
yeah.
you want to call them. They would go after those people. This time they said, hey, look, we got to cut it off at the knees. This is crazy. So what we're going to do is we're going to trap in every single spectator,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to write them all tickets. They're all getting citations. But they're all getting...
They shut down, like, every possible exit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, trapping everyone inside.
Trapped everybody inside, wrote over 700 citations. Now, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because that's not something that happens in, like, 20 minutes.
No.
It's hours.
Well, you know, they were really trying prepare. To go after, yeah, prepare to go after these guys.
So here's my question to people out there. Do you find that this is an effective measure to end this culture?
When
I say this culture, I mean to end this reckless, you know, slide around car culture that actually makes car enthusiasts look bad and hurts our industry. Do you think this is an effective measure? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean... I don't like these either.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the one thing I do like about these videos is when you see, like, a spectator. And there's a spectator who's, you know, a part of it, and they walk too close to the car, and the car actually hits them, and they go.
You like that?
That's funny. I mean, like, who's walking in front of a drifting car? Yeah, I'm sorry. That should be a covered up thing. I just think it's funny. It's not that I like it, but come on. It's very entertaining to watch someone get drifted into and just kind of go flying as if he didn't know what was going to happen walking in front of a moving car. You see those videos, right?
So just in case you guys are wondering, Rich used to work for Koenig, but he no longer works for Koenig, so you don't have to worry about coming to us. No, I don't find personal industry all that good, although I do think that anyhow. So here's the thing. I do think that out of everything that people are trying to stop, we've seen the one that happened in Ocean City. We've seen these happen quite a bit. And the struggle is that generally when the cops show up, they're underprepared. They only have a few. And the mass bug out, the mass fleeing happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I would even argue and sometimes is more dangerous than the actual act itself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm not defending this whole thing. I'm just talking. But, like,
no, but what you're
in
saying
this issue, until the police storm in, the only people that are really at harm here are those idiots that run into the middle of this circle.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes one of them gets hit.
I understand. Yeah, okay, yeah, no, I understand where we're going with this. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, so, like, if you get plowed into, you were just too close. And, well, you know, some can argue that there's a little bit of Darwinism here, right?
A little bit, yeah.
So, not funny, though. It's not funny. I don't condone it. It's not funny. What I'm saying here is this, is that police storming into these things and now hitting everybody that's watching, it's going to have people rethinking their choice of going to watch these types of events.
Yep.
Now, in this, they also impounded, I think, something like 22, 26 vehicles or mm-hmm. something like that. And there were a few arrests made. It says 19, but I watched an updated thing, and I think that they said that they were up to like 26 cars that were totally impounded. But wow. Yeah, I mean, look, there's something to be said about that. If you know that the punishment is harsh for spectating at something like this, the nature would be, will these things kind of taper off on their own?
Yeah.
And remember that, you know, my whole thing is if you're going to be doing these things, my problem is that you're not only being disrespectful, obviously, to the community, but you're turning everybody in that community that's not a car enthusiast into thinking that this is what car enthusiasts are all about.
Right, right.
So, you know, no wonder they're trying to take away the ability to modify or improve vehicles. I mean, this is the type of stuff that they're associating with car culture, and that's not car culture. That's crazy.
It's reckless behavior.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyhow, so you think this is an effective measure? Comment below. Let's Black Friday it, shall we?
Sure.
So here's the deal with our Black Friday thing. You obviously know that we don't sell wheels to the public in the regular sense and form. So you will not find all Koenig wheels up there. But
no.
We have some stuff that are great wheels, you know, made by us, that we have in stock, that it's time for them to remove themselves from our building. And because of that, we put some super aggressive pricing on these on these wheels, and we're going to put them up. I believe they go up tomorrow.
Tomorrow
they'll be up there on Thanksgiving. Now we're closed Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So nothing will go and nothing will ship till Monday. But what I will say is that you will be able to, if you see a set of wheels that works for you, could be winter wheels, could be just wheels you think they look good, and you want them. There might be a few Koenig wheels out there. You can go get them. The prices are for the set. They're shipped. Continental U.S. only. But they are there, and they're they good, are cheap.
They're good deals.
They are sick deals.
Talk about Black Friday.
Yeah. No, they are sick deals. So so make sure you head over to store.koenigwheels.com. That's where you're going to be able to find that stuff. And there is a code that will give you an additional 15% off everything on our store. Now, things that you might notice on our store. Obviously, aluminum hub rings that work for many brands of wheels, but not every brand. So just keep in mind. Second thing is plastic hub rings, which I do believe work for most of the wheels. There's also merch. I think we're out of t-shirts already.
We have a few left in a couple sizes. Yeah,
we suck a little bit on that. but you get yourself some lanyards or some stickers and decals.
We have a new...
we have a hat.
We do have a hat.
Yeah, we have a hat.
We also have a new ceramic coating kit.
That's right. So now, ceramic coating kit. We have introduced this softly a little bit ago. This ceramic coating kit is great. It's cool. It's a great value. We sell them for $84. Why so much? Let's get into it. First thing is, most ceramic coating kits are about the same amount of money. Yes, you can get kits for less, but what you'll notice about the kits is they come with a small bottle of ceramic coating. There is no prep in the thing, and they don't give you anything except a couple of, you know, cotton applicators. What's inside this ceramic coating kit? First off, it you get a Koenig commemorative tin. That's right, it's tinny, but you can also put like your baseball card collection in, keys. Maybe you want to hold some stuff from your loved one. Maybe you like to write letters to each other. It's a tin.
They get yeah.
It's a tin.
Yeah.
But you know, you can write like your love letters, like
yeah,
you,
whatever.
You could take all the love letters that your wife wrote you, and you could put them in there and keep them in a safe box.
I could.
That's courtesy of Koenig. Yes. Now we have the commemorative tin there. We have the ceramic coat. It's a kit that we've worked in conjunction with G Technic. So. Clearly, this is great stuff. They're one of the world's leading providers of ceramic coat and detailing supplies. So 30 mil is enough. It's a large bottle. It's enough to essentially do most sets of wheels twice. And it also will allow you for really large wheels to complete this, complete that set. You also get a 50 mil bottle of panel wipe. Panel wipe is the piece that allows you to properly prep the wheel for ceramic coating. Now, if your wheels are not new, if they're used, you may have to do some extra cleaning. Get the wheel completely clean first. You're gonna wanna make sure you, you use things like iron fallout remover. Get the wheel completely cleaned off first, because whatever you, you don't wanna ceramic coat it with all that crap on there.
Nope.
but we give you the bottle of prep. We also give you an applicator. A very nice applicator. Your fingers can go into it so they won't fall off. Little applicator glove almost.
Keep your hands clean.
That's right. And the applicator is extremely soft, and you'll find good measure with it. It's a lint-free applicator. And in addition to that, if you open it up, you will have two microfiber cloths. I look at them as sacrificial, right? Because one is an applicating cloth to help you smooth the surface. The other one is a buff-off cloth. But in theory, I don't tell the guys at the rag company, because they'll probably get really angry at this, but like, you probably could wash them and reuse them at some point. I mean, I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Like, and that's all available in this kit. So ceramic coating, in case you're not, if you're buying a new set of wheels, ceramic coating is something that, you know, I believe that you should do. I've done it before on my wheels, and I will tell you that what it does is it makes the finish long lasting. Right, it really preserves the finish. First thing it does is it makes it, if it took you 30 minutes to clean your wheels before, now it's going to take you 15. A lot of the brake dust and stuff is just going to almost hose off. It's really actually pretty incredible. The next thing that ceramic coating will do is it will make it so that when you put this stuff on your wheel, it's protecting the finish and surface under there, the same as way ceramic coat would for your car. So this is really one of those things that if you want to have, you know, cut your cleaning time in half and really protect the wheel, then this is a must have product. Additionally to this whole thing, just understand that generally what happens is we say that this finish will last a year. Well, I have had wheels on my car for over 2 years now. And because I ceramic coat it and I keep the car in the garage and I do clean it frequently, and there's things you want to do when you clean your wheels, like you don't want to put wheel cleaner on after you ceramic coat them, but just gentle soap and water. But here's the deal. At the end of the day, what you're going to want to do is understand that the length of the finish, the lifespan of this finish has everything to do with the amount of use that you do. So you may find even more value and it lasts even longer. But, you know, that's the deal. Those are on our site. Again, if you use the code, which I wish we had. Do you remember what the code is?
Yeah, it's Black Friday 22.
Spelled out like that?
Yeah, all capital, Black Friday 22.
So Black Friday 22 will get you 15% off everything that's on that store. Now, what's cool about that code is that, remember those wheels that we were just talking about earlier?
Yeah.
Those wheels are sickly priced. I mean, super cheap. Shipped. Continental U.S. You still get 15% off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's there. Like, I mean, it's there for you to use. So with all that said,
I do want to specify that for the people that don't know, this is not on our regular Koenig Wheels website where you can see all the wheels that we make, flow form, mainline, everything like that. This is on store.koenigwheels.com.
Right.
It's our online store because we, again, don't normally ship or sell directly to customers.
Right. And here's what I would also say. If you're not sure if any of these wheels will fit your car, if you have any questions on it, don't order them. There is no... wheels do not do refunds, and you'd be responsible to ship them back.
The wheels that are going up on our store, the wheels that are going up on our store for Black Friday, they will be labeled accordingly with all the specs that you can get, and the spec is only for that set of wheels.
Right.
So whatever you see there, that's what you get.
And the reason it said that code wasn't valid yet is because it doesn't go live
until tomorrow morning. Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, technically tomorrow morning, but 12:01 a.m.,
Thanksgiving.
Thursday, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I had to think about that. I'm like, what day is it? So that's there. With all that said, we hope that you have a really happy, healthy, warm Thanksgiving. We hope that you enjoy your time off if you have any. We hope that you are with your loved ones. And again, if there is anything that is plaguing you, please reach out to somebody. It's not, you know... Things are hard, especially around the holidays for some. Think about the people you impact if you know, God forbid. So if you need help, please get help. Do yourself that one step. That's pretty much it, right?
Yep.
All right. Listen, have a good Thanksgiving. We will be back here next Wednesday where we'll hang out with you guys. And don't forget that we go live on Instagram and on Facebook every 2 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays, where we answer all your questions and do the Q&A. Don't forget to comment below. And this is a good time to get subscribed. We've been putting up a lot of cool content.
We sure have.
Man, you know what I mean? Max has been out there killing it.
Yeah.
We're putting up some cool content. It's pretty fun to watch. We did this thing that we did with the pizza place. Go check that out on our
new
channel.
New series, Lunch Break.
Lunch Break. It was pretty funny. Anyhow, go check it out. And make sure you subscribe and click the notification bell. And then tell all your friends, because we like friends. Anyhow.
We sure do.
Take care of yourself. We'll be back here next week. Peace.
Happy Thanksgiving.